Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network. I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. We've got the normal, I guess the normal Bag Super Awesome podcast crew, which shouldn't be listened to anyone that's not in our fantasy football league.
I don't know about that.
Easy.
but for those who have never listened to a BSAP pod, we've got brothers Jake and Joe Shrum here.
Howdy.
What up?
You might have read some of Joe's post-viewist reviews on classic 80s hits, such as Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, wait, Joe, you did all three of them?
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm going to check out the site after this.
And his Gladiator re-review as well. And then Jake, after a torrent of television activity, has been rather silent for the past couple weeks, but he's getting ready to write some Artakeezies.
I got off to a quick start, and now I'm just backed up with ideas, and there's so many that I find it hard to write about one.
Yeah, it's such a huge roster of terrible programs. I mean, I'm surprised you're not catatonic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just kind of stuck.
He's letting it stew all around up in that brain.
There's so much to write about.
yeah, exactly.
But, so these are this is the usual crack team, if you will. I don't know. Today we'll just be discussing Game of Thrones. If people have watched the show Game of Thrones, otherwise known as Songs of Fire and Ice, correct?
Is it Fire and Ice or Ice and Fire?
Ice and Fire.
The entirety of the soon-to-be 7-book fantasy series. And we'll also talk about some movies and some television afterwards. In any case, if you don't want the show to be spoiled, or if you're currently reading the books, we are in the middle, or we will be discussing everything that has happened from the beginning of Game of Thrones to the middle of A Storm of Swords.
Okay, what exactly is the middle? Joe, I guess Bagman's probably the short person right here right now, right?
Yeah, I'm the one that's behind the most. I have the wedding between Joffrey and Marjorie is just about to get underway. So,
the royal wedding.
That is where I am at.
Okay.
Moment. So I've got
not to be confused with the red wedding.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So that's where I'm at. Of course, Jake has read all of the books at least once through, correct?
And I think actually all of them except for the first one twice. I did not bother to read this first one twice.
Okay. And Joe, where are you? You haven't finished Storm Swords for the first time, have you?
I've made yeoman's progress on it the past couple days because it's been so good.
I've been coming up on your coattails.
Once you get to the Red Wedding, I mean, the back half just flies through with all kinds of shit going down.
Yeah, and I have actually finished the proper book, and I'm at the epilogue. There's an epologue chapter. I have not started reading the epilogue yet.
Excellent.
Okay, well, I guess don't spoil anything too much for me.
I'll do my damnedest.
So... Let's just get right into this here. Jake was asking me on the G-Chat the other day whether it was folly or genius to not give Robb Stark his own point of view chapters. And in the wake of the events of the Red Wedding, I would have to say it is neither, my friend. I feel as though it's like he already killed off Ned. So I feel like I'm sure there was a lot of backlash towards that. So I feel if he had given Rob his own point of view chapters, it would have felt like another ridiculous betrayal that he had already purported in like an earlier book.
Just to subsequently kill him off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, assuming he knew he was going to kill Rob off when he started writing, you know, the entire
He claims he does. He claims that the Rider Wedding was always part of his plans.
I mean, I could see that after I got through it, but yeah. I don't know. I think I would have been much more pissed if Rob had his own POV chapters and then he dies halfway through the third book.
But as we discussed, I mean, this certainly leaves the producers of the show in a bit of a conundrum with the second season, because obviously Rob is just not in Clash of Kings pretty much at all.
Yeah, I mean, all we really hear about him in the second book is just his wins, but we don't actually see him do anything for the most part.
Right.
And I would think actually, Bags, that is maybe the reason why he doesn't have his own chapters, because the stuff that, aside from, you know, like him winning the wars or whatever, or the battles, and then getting with this Jane girl instead of the Frey girl that he's supposed to, he doesn't really do anything that impacts kind of the entire story as a whole. Like, so maybe that's why he doesn't have his own chapters. Like, you know, everyone who has their own chapter is kind of doing shit that impacts, like, everybody, whereas Rob's doing shit that doesn't really impact everybody.
That's a good call.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to say that the marriage of Jane Poole kind of
that's the only thing.
Everyone.
Right, that's the
it's,
only
thing. It's not Jane Poole, is it?
Yeah, it's not Jane. It's
Jane Westerly.
Westerly. Whatever. Jane.
Jane Poole is the North, is the North girl, right?
Can't remember who Jane Poole is.
You're gonna you haven't seen the last of Jane Poole, so we should not
don't be mixing things
confuse
up.
Confuse okay. The two, yeah.
Rob's widow, Jane, whatever her name is.
Westerling.
Plus, we all know that Georgie Porgy really doesn't enjoy writing battles. I mean, he wrote the one at the end of the second book there, the Battle of the
Blackwater Bay.
Yes, Blackwater Bay, there you go. But other than that, we hear about a bunch of battles, but we don't ever really see them.
Right. Well, it's not, I mean, the book or the TV show is not called Game of Battle. It's called Game of Thrones, motherfucker. So he's more interested in, like, all the conniving and screaming.
Well, yeah,
and stuff.
No, I'm just saying that also is probably a reason why he did not give Rob his own game.
Because he was weary of all the battles.
Okay. He wanted to stay away from the action.
In any case, Lord Frey, old Lord Walder Frey was really enjoying himself there during that entire
during the wedding.
At the wedding,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was having a grand old time.
He definitely was.
Kind of sketchy.
Obviously the shit was going to go down. I mean, you knew that even before, like, when just at the idea of them going to the twins or whatever.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Just like, all right,
I mean,
obviously
what the hell are they thinking? What the hell are they thinking?
And then,
like, they should just be like, let's calm down.
Right, and then obviously, like, when Grey Wind starts freaking out at everybody,
yeah.
Not interested in going in, and they don't want Grey Wind in the place, like, that's, all right, that's, like, a big hint. Obviously, the shit's going to go down in there. Don't go in there, dumbasses. But he's going to go in there, and he's going to eat that shit so he can help him if he needs to. And got what he asked for.
Well, I mean, yeah, he did. There was a lot of foreshadowing between the letter of the heir going out, like, a chapter, like, you know, a couple chapters before, and then the whole Lord Tywin signing that letter, like, beforehand with a lot of mystery around there. Like, you could definitely tell what was about to happen. Maybe not Rob getting killed, but, you know.
And even...
about to go down.
Yeah, yeah. And even Rob's plan to, like, attack Moat Cailin or whatever it's called on, like, New Year's Eve or whatever, he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to be nice and drunk, and we'll be able to get in there no problem. I mean, obviously, that was exactly what the Freys were doing, loading them up with the wine and meads and whatnot,
yeah,
and not and the crappy food.
Getting the Great John out of the fucking way, because God knows what that guy was going to do.
Exactly.
He was going to go nuts.
I mean, Rob's wolf bit his finger off or whatever, and he just kind of laughed about it.
And he laughed
about it.
I made a joke about his meat.
In any case, perhaps the most important thing about the entire Red Wedding is, I mean, I really have no one to root for now. Like, I was rooting for the Starks, clearly, because it's kind of, like, set up like that.
Yeah.
But now, like, with every passing Dany chapter, I get more and more pissed at her, no matter what happens.
Right.
And Stannis is just an idiot.
Wait, what's going on with Danny?
Danny...
Not that you have a lot to look forward to, by the way. I'm just curious.
Danny...
That's not fair.
Danny just... Lord Belwas...
Has finally done his thing?
Yeah, he finally got his one cut and then killed the guy in... At that city, which is...
Mirren.
Third city, yes.
Mirren.
Yes. And then all the entire backlash of... Arston, otherwise known as Barristan.
Barristan the Bold, Mr. Selmy.
Yep.
Yeah. I had forgotten about him. I mean, you knew he was going to be popping back up, but I had forgotten about old Barristan.
Right, I mean, I had also completely forgotten about when it was happening, and I was like, oh shit, he's a total badass.
It was a nice surprise. He kicked some people's ass with a huge Gandalf-style staff.
Yeah. I mean, he had a beard and everything. Like, he was totally pulling a Gandalf.
He was ripping off Gandalf's moves.
Yeah.
But, and then Jorah and Barristan are about to be sent somewhere, which is probably through the sewers, I'm assuming.
Right. Sure. Because it's been outed that Jorah has been selling secrets.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, too, longer than we even knew of.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the last thing that Dany has done. And even though, I mean, it's not like she's a bad character. Like, she's clearly probably the most wisest ruler of the would-be kings or queens. But,
Well, see, why are you doing Stannis like that? There's nothing wrong with Stannis.
He's just kind of, I mean...
He's
a
little nutty.
He's starting to become a little better. Because in the when he first comes up in the second book... He's definitely nutty.
I guess so. Like I mean, he's going back to Clerks. He's a lot like what's his face. He wasn't supposed to be there today. This
right,
wasn't supposed
exactly.
to be his job. So he's kind of pissed off about that the entire time that he's not ruling Storm's End or wherever the hell he thinks he's supposed to be at. And he's just all pissy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And granting those teeth, son.
Yeah.
But
he needs some braces.
I mean,
he needs to get some dentures or something.
I'm rooting for Davos, but I'm not rooting for Stannis at the moment. And then, of course, all the Lannisters, aside from Tyrion, are kind of bogus at this point in the book, at least. Jaime might end up doing something kind of cool, but...
There we go. So, yeah, it is... I do like how George is making you empathize with Jaime some at this point. And obviously, he's not all bad. And I don't think I'm spoiling too much by saying that Cersei's obviously fucking insane.
Oh yeah, no,
and obviously had her fingers deep in Jaime, so that obviously fucked with Jaime.
Whoa, Jake. Whoa.
that's kind of gross, Jake.
You have to make sure you put the.
There's only one place those fingers can go, my friend. I'd have to say that Georgie Porgy definitely. Is keeping around the most, I guess, the deepest characters, you know, the most layered characters, whereas clearly Ned and Rob were, you know, kind of one-trick pony sort of guys.
They were definitely pretty one-dimensional. I mean, I think that, but going into that, I would say the only two deep characters are really Tyrion and Jaime, right? I mean, everyone else is pretty, I mean, there's not a whole lot to everyone else, right?
Yeah, but I mean, many of them are like two of them are kids still, so they're still coming into their own.
Right.
So.
And Danny's still trying to figure her shit out.
Yeah.
But of course she's a woman, and Georgie Porgy is known to not do well with the ladies.
Obviously despises women.
George's voice for the ladies is
lollygagging.
Is that they're always stupid and make the worst decisions in the world.
Basically, his ideal or his like the prototypical woman in Georgie Porgy's mind is lollies because he just keeps bringing her up.
So what was the part with lollies that you really enjoyed?
He hasn't gotten to that yet.
Batman hasn't gotten there yet.
Oh, that's what's in the Tyrion chapter?
In the Tyrion chapter that you haven't read yet.
Awesome.
Lollies just made mention of, at least, a part that tickled Joe to no end.
Well, now I definitely need to read that.
And Joe doesn't...
I was just
Joe hasn't even read what they... what she ends up having her kid, having her bastard kid.
No, stop.
But I'm just saying, you don't even know what she calls her kid yet. It's kind of, I mean, it's just good stuff is happening.
It's gonna be a delight.
Yeah. So wait, Joe, you haven't read the epilogue yet?
That's the only thing I've not read yet.
Oh, dude, you're gonna lose your shit when you read the epilogue.
Oh, man. Is there lollies in it?
No lollies.
That's fucking.
Unfortunately, yeah. Your point of view in the epilogue is lollies. You're gonna look into her mind.
that would be a delight. In any case, back to my point of not having anyone to root for. I mean, Joe, you've reached the end of the book. Jake clearly has read many more, so Jake, maybe you don't want to respond at this point. But Joe, is there a character by the end of the book that you kind of hope and root for to end up taking the place where Rob starts? Because I'm assuming we all kind of hoped Rob would win. We right. all kind of backed his horse, right?
Yeah, I mean, you empathize with the Starks the most because exactly. They obviously was getting brought in out of nowhere and just got constantly fucked with and kind of ran over. So especially after the Red Wedding.
Exactly. So, Joe, has a character appeared out of nowhere where you're starting to kind of throw your horse behind him? Or
I'm not necessarily pulling for anyone to. To like, you know, be the king or whatever, to run the show, but he definitely gets around to fleshing characters out, you know, and like getting, you know, kind of getting more perspective on how people ended up the way that they are. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's already started doing that with Jamie with his own chapters, and he's got some more stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just people like that, and obviously the Hound. I think you've gotten to the point. Obviously, where Arya has been hanging out with the Hound, and you know she wanted to kill him right away, but now she's kind of figuring out that maybe he's not the worst guy in the world. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's see, if I had to pick someone to be the crown, well, who are kind of the leads to be the crown right now? We got Daenerys.
Yeah, well, Danny, Stannis.
Well, so I mean, if we're just talking about the five kings who were supposedly fighting, yeah, it would have, yeah, those three, and then Balon Greyjoy.
But
I mean, I swear to God, and I don't think I'm spoiling too much when I say this because obviously it's going to happen. Balon's dead at this point.
They definitely mentioned that multiple times.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I had the entire Davos chapter where the leeches burned and Balon
fell off the bridge.
Yeah, fell off the bridge and Rob got killed at the
right.
wedding.
Right, and they said they were just gonna, they were waiting to see what happens with that third one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before they kill the Robert's bastard.
Edric Storm.
Yes. And then actually another whole kind of situation that we hadn't even been introduced to through the first 2.5 books. Is the Martells, the Dornish, the Sunspear residents. We're getting our first taste of them.
Yes.
With the Red Viper, whatever the dude's name is, coming
for
the wedding. Yeah.
Is that how you think it's pronounced? Oberyn?
I think it's Oberyn, right?
Let me look at this cat's name.
It's Oberyn.
It's either Oberyn or Oberyn.
I'm on it.
Oberyn.
I always pronounce the phrase the fries, so...
While I'm looking it up, Jake, getting back real quick to the epilogue, yeah, I'm not surprised that some crazy ass shit happens in that, because I kept waiting for some crazy ass shit to happen in, like, the last chapter, the last couple chapters, and nothing
well,
crazy
last,
happened. I mean,
you
totally knew what...
the last chapter was crazy?
No, not really. I mean, saw that shit coming a mile away.
Yeah, but it's still crazy.
Not really.
You got cray-cray.
So are the last few chapters. Here's one thing that I'd like to mention about the Red Wedding. Mm-hmm. It should tip you off immediately that some shit's going down. When it goes from someone's point of view to someone else who's close to that person's point of view, right back to that other person's point of view. We went from Caitlyn to Arya back to Caitlyn. That should tip you off that some shit's going down.
Yeah, no, it was like 5 pages and then...
yeah. Each chapter's 2 pages. That's telling you something. That's building you up into something.
Yeah, it's something's about to go down. Yeah.
I really was hoping... I'm kind of disappointed that Caitlyn... did not just yell, "Roose!" when he slayed her son. Unfortunately, that did not happen.
Why do you wish?
Wait! Did Roose actually kill Rob?
I don't think you ever officially know, but I think it's pretty obvious that he did.
At least one of his men did.
And everyone who's read the books is pretty much in agreement.
I was confused that I thought you were saying like literally he put the knife in him or whatever, but I don't remember that happening. I just remember him getting shot up with arrows.
Most people agree that Bruce put the knife in him.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he was wearing his fancy schmancy pink armor or what have you, and says compliments from Jaime Lannister, and Jaime Lannister right before had left Harrenhal when Roose was there, and Roose had said, and then Jaime had said, Roose, if you see Rob, send him my regards or something along those lines.
Yeah, I gotta go back and reread that shit.
At the very least, it was a flayed man who
sounds like it was Roose dog.
Yeah, no, it was Roose dog.
Going back to the Red Viper, I would say his name is pronounced either Oberyn. I would say Oberyn.
Yeah, that's what I always went with. Oberyn loves him some whores.
He loves his paramour.
Yeah, his paramour.
Good old Ilaria.
Wait, go back to the Red Wedding real quick. So he got shot up with arrows, and then this knight in all pink showed up out of nowhere.
And just stabbed him through the chest.
From the Lannisters.
And made sure he was dead.
That's what happened. And then Catelyn
got killed in her chapel.
That's when Catelyn lost her shit, sliced the most important character ever. And not class. Just sliced it, like clawed through it, like sawed his head off.
Yeah, that was
really
bad.
Unnecessary. Thank you, Catelyn.
I think
the people to pick to kill.
I think the best thing that's come from the book so far, this third book, is the bedding ritual.
The bedding ritual is pretty ridiculous.
It is wonderful.
It's basically the reverse of your stereotypical girl taking her walk home from like a frat house, you know, where she walks out of the room and all the guys start singing at her or what have you, and she kind of walks away and someone takes a picture of her, like that kind of shit. It's kind of the exact opposite of that, you know?
Yeah, it's a bunch of people that carry her, running into a bedroom, ripping her clothes off. And then they all watch and yell things.
Yeah. It's something all right.
It's great.
It's a big time. It's a big time, apparently. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone seems to really enjoy it.
I can't get enough myself. But maybe more to the point here is, We are coming up, I guess what, we've got a month and a half here. We're coming up on the premiere of season 2 of Game of Thrones, which I assume is going to follow mostly the second book. What are we thinking? I mean, it's going to be 10 episodes again, right, this year?
Yeah, they've made no secret that they're going to include part of this book, or scenes from this book, notably Jaime and Rob stuff. When they say the Rob stuff, I think they mainly mean show a little bit more of him and his battles, specifically maybe him going down the goat's path or whatever around the castle, and then I'm assuming him meeting Jean. Yeah.
Yeah. So what, I mean, what are we hoping for, / what are we worried about from the translation from book to screen here? I mean, what do we think is going to be left out? What do we think, where do we think, you know, like, the end of the book, you know, a huge battle takes place. Do we think that's going to be where the season ends? Or?
They've also already said that I think episode 9 is the Battle of the Blackwater, and that's the one episode of the season that Georgie wrote or had a main part in.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if that's the 9th one, then I'm assuming that the last episode
is going to be a lot of...
It's going to be, probably Tyrion stuff, or maybe, because, I mean, that whole water battle stuff kind of happens, and then all the stuff in King's Landing happens, so I'm not sure if those are going to be in the same episode or not, and then I guess, on top of that, Christ, Dany doesn't really come into any kind of conclusion at the end of the second book, does she?
She buys
those three boats, right? That's pretty much it.
Yeah, she gets attacked and saved by
Barristan. Barristan. So how are they going to pull that off? Are they going to like really disguise the shit out of them?
I don't think so. I think they'll let it be known to us that it's Barristan, right?
I don't know.
I mean, because they can't really pull any shit other than that.
I mean, they've got to do a little something. You know? Maybe honestly, he'll wear like a cloak over himself or something.
You know what? Maybe they won't even do that part. Maybe with Danny they'll focus more on her going through the wasteland, that crazy ass stuff in the house.
Yeah.
Well, nothing happens to Danny the entire time except.
Well, because the only reason why I say that is because I'm pretty sure I've seen a screenshot or two of her with the Unsullied, with her buying her slave army.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what they do, what they leave out, or what they kind of sandwich into two things or whatever.
I mean, clearly they have to keep Danny in because she's like a central character.
Right.
But she literally does nothing for that entire book except towards the end. Like she's just going across the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she comes across like a cool kind of city, but then gets
betrayed. But then they abandon it. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, whole story.
What goes on
with Bran? He's pretty much just chilling in his bed the entire time, right?
In the second book?
Yeah.
He's kind of coming to grips with his wolf dreams and.
I'm thinking that stuff they'll be able to like trim out.
Well, no, they didn't hire actors to play the Kranigman.
Really?
I don't think so. I think that was kind of a big deal, if I remember correctly, when they were going through and getting hired those two yet.
Well, that's more in the third one anyway, right?
Mira and Jojen? Yeah, but
they meet each other and they hide and stuff in the second one.
Yeah, I mean, shit goes down in the second one with Winterfell.
Yeah, I mean, basically they're saying that none of the Winterfell stuff is going to happen then, because there's no way, there's such an integral part in Bran's story, there's no way that they can't have, I mean, unless they're keeping it under their hat so good that, like, they actually did hire some people, but, you know, they're trying to pretend like they didn't. Like, other than that, nothing can go on with Bran, because that's, like, such an integral part of his storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like they'd pop up in the last one. Like, it shouldn't be a big deal whether or not they've cast them or not anyway, right?
Well, I mean, it's just
they have such a small part in the second one. Like, all it is they show up at the feast at the end, or towards the end, and they're like, oh, here are these frog people.
I mean, they have a small part, but they don't, because, like, they're
I mean, it's an important, it's an important part, but it's a small part.
I think it'll work out. I'm not overly concerned about that part, but yeah.
Well, what we're trying to figure out is what they're going to cut out, right?
Right.
So, like, are they going to cut out maybe a lot of Arya's bouncing around?
I mean, they've got to. There's so much of it. I mean, I feel like, you know, it'll be one episode, her storyline will be like, okay, we're escaping, you know, or whatever, and then the next episode it'll be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's going to be, like, four episodes devoted to Arya finally coming, like, under Harrenhal's.
Right. I mean, something that you gotta remember, and that I actually kind of remembered a second ago while I was looking over some other stuff, was that they really do, in the first season, they really did jump around a lot, and there were episodes where they didn't have main characters in them. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, you know, we see Arya traveling in the first episode or whatever, then, like, the third episode she has the little run-in where she thinks the gold cloaks are coming after her, but they're actually after the bastard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth or fifth episode is when she finally gets, where they finally, run into, the mountain or the mountain's people or what have you.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, her entire storyline is just her bouncing around from one person to another, basically to let us see, like, some of the lesser factions, I suppose.
And obviously that hasn't stopped yet through the third book.
Oh, no.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of... I mean, Danny's chapters especially. I mean, they're going to cut those things down. All you really need is, like, two scenes, you know, for the most part, until she gets to that house.
Yeah.
The fucking crazy house.
Yeah. Here's an idea. I'm gonna attempt to invite you guys to a Google Hangout, and we can watch the HBO teaser synchronized. we can give our thoughts.
Okay, we'll give our thoughts to the tease.
Yeah.
Jon Snow has a lot to do, I feel like.
In the second book or in the third book?
I guess most of it is in the third book, isn't it?
Because what I was going to say is he's another person, I think, who they said they've pushed his storyline up, and like they made known that they casted Egret for the
Oh really?
Yeah.
They did what?
They casted Egret.
Oh yeah.
For this season.
Very interesting.
Yes.
All right, Chris Baggiano has joined the hangout.
I'm in the hangout. Nothing's going on. In any case, I gotta turn this sound off. This is weird.
Joe, that really screwed with some stuff.
Just mute everything on the.
While we're getting this going on, yeah, I guess John doesn't really do much until the end of the second book, anyway. Do we think maybe Sam is going to become more of a character here? I mean, he doesn't really have much to do either in the second book, but clearly we get his point of view chapters in the third.
Yeah, we might just get like a scene of his sprinkled in for the second season.
Sam definitely ends up being a major person in the series.
Yeah. He's kind of like the unlucky dude who happens to be everywhere exactly at the right time. He's kind of one of those guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing on this hangout?
I'm seeing nothing on here.
You guys aren't seeing my sweet YouTube video?
Not only am I not seeing anything, but it really messed with all my levels.
Oh, no. It's messed with the levels. Okay, I clicked on YouTube. And Joe Shrum changed video to game.
I'm leaving the hangout.
All right, everyone just leave the hangout. Hangout's bogus. Bex, you're going to have to cut that out of the podcast.
Okay.
No, you can leave it now. I can hear it playing on someone's computer.
The hangout is bogus.
That's much better.
Yeah, this is real professional, as you guys can tell.
I gave it a shot. Here, then go to... Do you guys have the link? Let me send you the link, skis.
Well, is this really necessary?
Yeah. All right, well, I'll watch it. I'll tell you guys exactly what's going on.
Yes, please do.
I'll tell you exactly what you can do with life.
Is it just me, or whenever they mention Peter Baelish, you just think automatically of Tommy Carcetti?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I can't help it. It's just like, I sometimes read the word Peter, I'm like, oh, you mean Tommy?
Oh, you mean the mayor?
Yeah. You mean the smarmy mayor from The Wire, of course.
Joe, do you mean the 45-second tease or, like, the more recent minute-long actual preview?
It's 1 minute and 7 seconds long. I'd like to see you guys in my care in a second, but I can't.
Bagman, you have seen it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it is really good. But so was the little tease, though. So was the Cold Winds tease. That has Stannis talking over it.
Hold on, you guys, everybody.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna watch this right now. While we're waiting here, I just pulled it up on the YouTube.
I mean, it's good. It's got that good Tyrion and Varys shit going on.
It's got that Varys voiceover. We've got like a nice little intense kind of bassy rhythm and, with a little piano shit going on.
Yeah, and the story is one of the kind of good ones from the books. I'm not sure if it happens in the second one. It might not happen until later, but it's definitely a good little thing.
Oh, the story that he's reciting.
Yeah,
I'm really interested to see how they do.
You got the Sansa getting stripped scene?
No, I'm still. I mean, we're still recording here, so I'm just gonna leave.
Well, no. I'm talking. I'm watching the tease right now as they're going through, and it's something that they showed.
Oh.
And obviously, it's gonna be extremely emotional. You got Joffrey pointing a goddamn crossbow at it during it.
God, Joffrey is such a ridiculous idiot. I'm really interested to see what kind of tunes they come up for these songs. Specifically for the bear song, which is the song that's always sung.
The song of the bear or whatever it is.
The bear with no hair.
There have been, obviously, voice readings and whatnot, and I think there's... I'm pretty sure there's at least one version of Reigns of Castamere that's pretty popular.
Word.
And obviously that's a big song. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up.
Georgie Porgy really likes giving you the entire lyrics to the song when they are exactly like what is happening in the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
he's down on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to know.
He's going to be like, yo, look, just in case you guys are idiots, this song is saying everything that is
this
going
song
on
is
right
playing,
now.
And it means everyone's about to die.
Oh, man.
Except for that stupid bear song, which means nothing.
Which means nothing is happening. Which means everyone's just having a good old time.
Yeah, it means three stools are walking through the woods.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, I got another thing from
just
Jose.
Just send it to you guys. That's what you guys need to watch.
Yeah, I found it on YouTube.
We already brought it up on YouTube.
Since you left.
You guys already watched it?
But yeah, they show Melisandre there.
Yeah.
When it's priest. So
wasn't Melisandre supposed to be hot? Oh, wait, she is. Never mind.
She's not as hot as she should be.
Well, I mean, no one's as hot as they should be.
She's Game of Thrones hot. Well, I don't think anyone's really supposed to be attractive outside of Melisandre. I mean, it's been a huge deal on the boards that Jon Snow is attractive as he is, because Jon Snow is supposed to not be that attractive.
Oh, really?
Well, the Lannisters are kind of hot.
Like, Rob is supposed to be the attractive Stark, not Jon Snow is supposed to be, like, some bucktooth hick kind of, I think.
Nice, because he's a bastard.
I mean, I think he's always described as being homely, or what have you.
Yeah, because there's homely and comely. Which one's... Comely's the attractive one?
Yes.
Comely, yeah.
Yeah, I agree that it looks like there's some sullied there.
Wait, who was this kid?
What kid?
At the 54-second mark, he says, and no one can be killed.
That's Ari.
It's
Arya. Yeah.
Wow. She looks like a dude. They did a good job with her.
They really dude her up.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's fucking at the end of this thing, too.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's definitely her. Oh, yeah, so I think the other big thing is in the second book, they're supposed to have that really lame tournament, jousting tournament, mm-hmm. that no one competes in.
Yeah.
Apparently they've done away with that, and they're just having that little battle on the battlements or what have you. And Bagman, that is not people having sex. That's Melisandre.
Oh, so she's the product of what usually happens after nine months after sex.
Yeah, I think that's her. People.
That's her giving some birth to some shadows.
That's her at Storm's End.
Gives it to me. I had one other thing to say. I completely forget now. Yeah, we've been recording this entire time. This has really gotten pretty nice here. We got anything else to say about this?
Well, can we talk more about Storm of Swords?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we really have just not talked that much about it at all.
Man, we're gonna really need to. I'm going to really need to get in my editing chair here and do this stuff. But, yeah, let's do this.
Well, I mean, I mean, part of the reason why I love the series so much is that they really do flesh out a lot of the backstories, not directly usually. Like, you guys have obviously mocked the Dany chapters a lot, but, I mean, pretty much all of our chapters, Arsten, now we know Barriss and Selmy, gives her a good story about Rhaegar and stuff like that. And obviously that guy might have been the biggest badass on Westeros ever.
The history of
sounds
badass.
Like, well, it sounds like he was real emo.
Right. Well, they had that too.
He was badass.
I mean, yeah. he with his harp or whatever. Have you guys have obviously heard about his harp?
Oh, yes.
And Summerhall. Oh, I'm going to Summerhall and learning a new song.
He loves
playing
song.
That harp.
Yeah, he really harps it up.
He slays everyone with his beautiful music.
Yeah, well, and then kills him when he needs to.
And then we also got like that whole history from one of the frog people, right? Like about
the night of the Laughing Tree.
Yeah.
Is that the scene you're talking about? Bagman, I didn't mention that to you at all, but I was wondering how much you guys kept up with that one.
With which one?
They're talking to Mira Reed.
Yeah.
Telling Bran about about a jousting tournament and the story of the Knight of the Laughing Tree.
Oh yeah.
But she gives the entire story through kind of code, and I was wondering how you guys followed the code.
And the entire time, Jojen's like, "Are you sure your dad didn't tell you about any of this?"
Yeah. So do you got? I mean, Joe? Do you know who the Knight of the Laughing Tree is?
I can't remember the story exactly, but I'm. It seemed like I can't. I mean, obviously Rhaegar played into it, and I want to say even Jaime played into it, but I can't remember the specifics. We'll have to break it down.
Jaime is mentioned really, really briefly. I think they say, you know, part of the story is that the six white swords or something like were there, and they were welcoming a new brother.
Yeah,
and it happens to be the new brother is Jaime. It's when Jaime is being brought into the Kingsguard. But basically, the story is the Cro-Magnon man, which is obviously the dad, whatever the dad's name is. I'm blanking on it right now.
It's like
Howland Reed. Howland's getting put. You know, it's just a little shit 10-year-old or something like that. And he's getting like pushed around by a bunch of people, squires. And they're giving him crap. And then Lysanna Stark stops them and tells her brothers. Whatever Ned's older brother is, in Ned,
it's Brandon,
and the third one too is obviously there,
Benjen.
Yeah, Benjen. But basically, what ends up happening is some random knight wearing some ridiculous ass armor, who's undersized, who's notably smaller than everyone else, starts kicking everyone's ass pretty much, and then
he's defending the honor of the Cro-Magnon man.
Yeah, and then whoever the king is orders Rhaegar and some other people to go find him, but they can't find the knight. And that's the story. But I was wondering, I mean, they kind of hint to who exactly the knight is, but you guys have no idea.
No, I don't think so. Some short guy. They tell me.
Guy. Well, I don't think it's a guy. I don't think it's a short guy.
Oh shit! It's the short girl. No.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be.
Who is it supposed to be, Jake?
Lyanna, and Rhaegar finds her, and that's how he falls in love with her.
Oh shit! So she was a fucking badass with a knife and whatnot.
Well, they've mentioned previously that she was a badass on horse and whatnot, like Arya.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I think I remember that as well.
I don't remember that. It seems like there's a lot. Maybe I'm missing.
There's so many words in the book that you can't.
Is that the words confuse you?
Yeah. There's so many pages that one page after another it just gets it gets all muddled together.
That makes sense, because she's all emo, obviously, apparently, too, because she's trying to help out the frogman, and she's also a badass with the sword and whatnot, so it makes sense that the two emo people would get together.
Right. Alright, so a few other things that I really liked. I really like Jaime shaving his head and growing a beard out.
Yeah, that's a choice.
I enjoyed that, and I look forward to them shaving off this dude's head, whoever the actor's name is, Nicholas Wachner or whatever.
How do you guys think they're going to do with his hand being taken off? Are they just going to do the old pull the hand past the sleeve trick?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like they might. They'll chop it off, and then, you know, we'll see like the stump there or whatever. Well, no, the stump is just such an integral part of Jaime that they've got to just pull it through the sleeve.
I mean, they're going to have to show it, obviously. So I was thinking maybe if they would do some sort of computer trickery where they could, like, you know, make his arm the proper length, or if they're just going to be like, look, straight up, we're not going to cut the actor's hand off. Everyone knows his hand is there, but we're just going to pretend like it's not and just pull the sleeve up.
I think they're just going to pull the sleeve up. They kind of. I think all their budget goes into location sets and the dragons. So I don't think they can spare too much more.
The
dragons. They don't have any budget for the stunt.
Yeah.
No stunt budget, unfortunately.
And then the only remotely interesting thing that happens to Catelyn.
She's there when
initially in her first couple chapters when she's just like dicking around in River Run and nothing's happening except for she's watching her dad slowly die.
Yeah.
Is that we find out that Lysa had a baby aborted. Her crazy ass sister Lysa had the baby aborted.
Lysa?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's also that stuff going on with like her dad calling out for someone, but we don't know who the lady is or whatever.
Right. Well, no, it's Tansy, but it's Lysa, yeah. but we're thinking, or Caitlin thinks at least that that's a pet name for Lisa.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Jake, are you trying to make the point that that was the pet name for Lisa and that is where the aborted baby came from?
Yeah. I mean, why would it not be? You don't think so, too? Honestly, we haven't gotten more or less I haven't gotten more or less confirmation on it.
Look, I'm just...
Wait, you're saying the aborted baby, it was an incestual situation?
No.
What?
Yeah. That's what I just said.
Oh, no. I think you know exactly who is the father of that baby that got aborted.
Wait, but who's Tansy?
Lisa.
But why do we think that's Lisa? Tansy.
Yeah, why?
Because he feels
Lisa?
Bad about making her abort her baby.
Is that what he says to Tansy while he's dying?
Isn't it? I mean, isn't that how Caitlin learns about? I don't know. Maybe not.
He just keeps not saying Tansy.
I think he just keeps saying
Tansy,
her name over again.
And
yeah.
Then she asks, I don't know, the maester or something about it, and then
yeah, no one knows who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to reread that part too.
I just can't wait till Jamie sticks it in Brienne. That's all I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Wow, Batman.
Get it going. That's been my biggest hope for the entire book so far. So.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
All the people on the board is complaining about the people are too attractive. I saw a picture or a production still of playing Brienne,
they did Brienne up right.
Actually, I think she was too attractive in it. I think she used to be uglier.
Wait. No, have you seen like the still of her from like the trailer?
I saw a still of her. It looks like she's in like the tent or whatever.
Okay, there's a still of her from the trailer, and
she looks nasty.
She looks unattractive.
Okay, good. Got to get her up.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to find this though. This is.
Let's see if I can find it. I can send it to you guys. I guess the picture of her in her dress and her in the tent, Joe. I'm assuming it's the one I'm looking at right now, where she just has kind of a dude's haircut.
Yeah, kind of a dude's haircut. She's got like her boiled leather on or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean
she's certainly not attractive in that picture, but I guess she could be a lot uglier.
Unfortunately, yeah. All the actors tend to live in the real world, and they kind of have to be hot anyway. So.
Right.
They don't have to be.
Oh yikes! Here's it. Here we go.
Oh, did you find it? Did you find the picture I'm talking about? I
found something.
Oh yikes! Here we go.
Well, she definitely looks very dykish.
I think what I found is it looks like it's just some dude's drawing. It's not actually the lady, but it's scary looking. Whatever it is.
This is what I just found. Here, let me send this over. Okay.
The podcast people are loving it.
Joe, I didn't stop recording while you went to go do whatever you were gonna do.
Right. Yeah, that's the picture I think that I've seen.
Yeah,
I say she's not unattractive enough.
No, man, that's pretty rough.
And again, I've seen a picture that's way worse than that. But yeah, a couple other things I want to talk about. I'm trying to think.
Regarding the third book.
Yeah, I like that Loras' brother. What, Joe?
Thanks. Tell me where exactly you are again. You're right. The wedding's just about to start. The royal wedding.
I believe the royal wedding is just about to start. Yeah.
What's going on everywhere else?
Well, have they given out the royal gifts yet?
Yes, they just gave out the royal gifts.
So yeah, I think the next chapter is the wedding, pretty much.
Yeah. What else is going on? Well, technically, we don't know if Arya is alive or dead, but I looked forward to the chapter.
Because they end the chapter saying that
she gets hit
the hounds hit her and
she's not dead,
right?
Dead.
Yeah.
Who else? What's going on with Snow?
Snow. Oh, the battle at Castle Black just happened.
Right, where they're defending from the wildlings coming in.
And he said goodbye to Ygritte.
Yeah, he had to shoot her up, or someone else shot her up.
Someone else shot her. He actually let her. He saw her and actually let her run amok. So she might have killed a couple more people because John couldn't pull the trigger.
Nice one, John.
And Sam just found Bran and they took him under the wall.
Right.
With the guy on the elk who I don't think we
Cold Hands.
Right, yeah. Cold Hands. Who's that? And what's going on? Is that Benjen? What the hell happened to Benjen? Right.
We don't know what happened to Benjen. But I mean, what happened to Benjen? But like. Yeah, I mean, I can honestly tell you, I have no idea who Cold Hands is.
And you're past the fifth book, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be Benjen, right?
Not necessarily.
But it could be him in, like, some other form. Like, obviously.
Or as we saw, people can warg into other people.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I think.
Yeah, but they can't just warg into
that,
some
maybe.
Crazy-ass person. I mean, the person has. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like if there's, like, whites or whatever, like, bad dead people, there should be a good dead people, too. And maybe he's one of these good dead people.
Right, because they're so numerous. the wildlings are a trip, though. Torment's good people.
He's always good people. He's talking about how someone cut off part of his manhood, but his manhood's still bigger than everyone else's manhood.
Yeah. Yep, so you know he's the badass.
like a horse.
All the other people are pretty entertaining also. The worg that they have who goes up into his eagle and shit like that. I'm pretty sure he's dead at this point, right?
Crushes Jon Snow's face.
Yeah, the eagle crushes his face.
Yes.
Yeah, him in the eagle crushes
he's in
Jon.
The eagle now, cause he's dead,
a part of him in the eagle. Yeah.
Mance is a pretty good time.
Mance is obviously a badass. Yeah. Good stuff with Mance still coming.
Yeah, but that Red Wedding, I mean, man, did you know that the shit was about to go down?
Okay, well, we still haven't talked about, I think, two of the bigger badass parts in the book. I'm trying to think of what the first one is.
Have I gotten to them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bagman, they're still... I'm referring to the parts that you've seen yet.
Okay.
There's still,
okay.
there's still a couple
some
more.
Three to half.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first is you finally found out, I think. Actually, you might not have. I think
Jimmy D, you're about to blow it
a little bit, but I don't think it's anything big. The person who rode out in Renly's armor, you finally found out who that is.
Oh,
I'm not sure if you guys know that for sure.
I don't think Bagman's found out yet.
No, I have not found out yet.
It's not a big surprise, but it's Loras's brother Garland. Who Loras says is a huge badass,
mm-hmm.
Particularly with the sword. Up to where I am, we haven't really seen much of him, I don't think. But obviously, I would think that he's going to come into play at some point, being a huge badass.
Okay.
Garland.
This book should have been called A Shitstorm instead of A Storm of Swords.
I know the second part that's really badass is the. The shit with Rickard Carson. No, yeah, that I'm wait. That's the obviously the big one, but the shit with
Karstark.
Yeah, with the Karstark.
Oh, about like yeah, because like he's all pissed off. So then he goes and kills a couple of the Lannisters
of his boys are all pissed off. Yeah, that Catelyn let Jaime go. So he goes to get his revenge on a bunch of people who are strung up, kills him. But then Rob, fucking takes him to the woods.
Yeah, no, Rob definitely uses his kingly...
And brings the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, noise. I thought that part was badass. And also, I have a little note here. Also in that chapter, it was a Catelyn chapter, Jean comes up to her and asks her how she can be there for Rob, and Catelyn basically tells her to just lay there.
Mm-hmm.
To just be there and take it, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
And she tells him to fuck the shit out of him to get that
right.
Air, son.
Right. Yeah. That part made me laugh, Joe. I was talking to Bagman about this yesterday or 2 days ago. There's a Sansa chapter where she finds out that she's going to get a new dress, that Cersei's ordered for her to get a new dress.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when her and Margaery are kind of hanging out, and she starts judging all the little girls that hang out with Margaery, saying that, they're so innocent and naive, and they have, they don't know anything. They're just a bunch of stupid fucking kids and whatnot. And then mm-hmm. she's like, oh, but I can't wait to get my new dress and look all pretty.
Oh, yeah, she's so ridiculous.
Yeah, thank you, Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa does not learn, ever.
Yeah, she's all like, oh, they want me to marry a crippled boy. Oh, I would just die if I married the crippled boy.
Yeah.
And then, a couple
maybe,
paragraphs
maybe
later...
Maybe the crippled boy will be nice.
Yeah, a couple paragraphs later, she's like, oh, the crippled boy is such a sweet lad.
Yeah.
I just hope I can make him happy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, Sansa. Come on, Sansa. Like, it's like, I feel bad for Sansa, but she's making it hard for me
but
to feel bad
stuff
for.
Like that. But then you get that chapter, and you're just like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, I think you kind of have to blame that on Georgie Porgy for
right,
their hatred of all women.
Yeah.
unless they're acting only like men.
Right. So real quick with the direwolf. So Lady Sansa's direwolf is dead, obviously.
Yep.
Grey Wind, Breakwind. Dot. They killed Grey Wind when Rob died. And so does Head on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see.
Is the one that is assumed to be still alive.
Who's that?
In the pack of wild wolves. Nymeria.
Yeah, Nymeria. Yeah. Much like Arya herself.
And,
right.
We don't know about Jon Snow's.
We don't know about Ghost.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, I mean, we don't know, but obviously.
Come on.
We're just waiting for Ghost to pop back up.
Right.
And then Rickon, obviously, we haven't heard Bupkis about Rickon.
Rickon is going to come back and just, like, fuck some shit up. I feel it.
On top of Shaggy Dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be the next Grigor. He's going to be totally insane.
That's a good point. He might come back and just be totally insane. And big, because obviously the Starks are pretty beast.
And then, is that it? Is that all the Stark kids? So basically, what I'm saying is that...
Summer.
Right, and then Bran and Summer. So what's going on with Sansa? Like, is she going to end up dead, or is she just forsaken? And because like Lady's dying is basically like, oh, she's done as a Stark, basically, and now she's just going to get played around. What are your thoughts, Bags?
So you're positing here that the fate of the direwolves is the fate of the people as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's been made pretty clear. And so what does it mean that Lady is dead, yet Sansa lives? Like, is it more of like a symbolic thing, like, oh, you know, like she might still be alive, but her life sucks, obviously, because here she is, you know, just a pawn in everyone's plans.
Well, I mean, I kind of read that as sort of like a, she never really wanted to be a Stark anyway, and she never really looked like any of the Starks.
Mm.
And so, you know, her wolf is dead, but the wolves are such a Stark thing, you know, so...
You looked at it more as the Norse side of her was dead.
Yeah, basically. Gotcha. Like, she never really wanted to be a Stark, and even in the first book, I think there's a copious amounts of talking about how she looks more like Catelyn than any of the Starks.
Yeah, right. favors the Riverlands.
And Rob looks like Catelyn too, right?
Yeah, the only people who looked like they were from the North were Jon and Arya.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So even little Rickon looked like he was from the South.
So I mean, maybe that's some foretelling right there. Is that the Starks will live on, but the Tullys, the ones that look like Tullys, end up dead.
And hard enough.
Are going to the sword. But yeah, then obviously the biggest badass part that we haven't discussed yet, and maybe just some crazy shit was when Sandor finally runs in with runs up into what's his face?
The Houndsman finds Sandor under a tree, drunk, well, and then he brings him to Beric.
Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah, to Dondarrion.
No, Beric is he's something else. That guy.
Yeah.
Me and Jake were goofing on Beric and Thoros there, saying that Thoros just. Is the master of tonsil hockey, and once that he makes out with Beric Dondarrion, Beric is back.
He's just reborn, yeah.
or is he just like basically a Red Cross CPR?
See, Joe, that's what I was saying. That's kind of what I always assumed until they really get into all the things that have happened to Beric, and I was like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
I guess you can't really CPR someone back to life after he's been stabbed through the eye with something.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
All right, all the Game of Thrones babble went on a bit long, so we're going to take this over to a part 2. I'll see you guys over there.